hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Falcons running back Lynn Cain. We had so much fun with Lynn when he joined us a couple of months ago. Really wanted to get him back on the show as quickly as we could. Lynn is from Los Angeles, California, played his college ball at USC, where he helped the Trojans to 3 bowl victories, including the 1979 Rose Bowl over Michigan and the national championship that season. They won that, you know, according to the UPI. We had a split poll that year, but UPI gave them the national championship and richly deserved. He was a 4th-round draft pick, the number 100 overall selection in 1979 by the Atlanta Falcons. Played here in Atlanta from 79 to 84. Played his last season back home in L.A. for the Rams. Over the course of his NFL career, he rushed for just over 2,300 yards and had nearly 1,100 receiving yards, and he scored 25 touchdowns. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution named Lynn one of the top 50 Falcons of all time, and we're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Lynn, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Happy holidays, Lynn.
Happy holidays, Chris and Bob. Glad to be back on the show with you guys. Really exciting and looking forward.
Yeah, so are we. So, Lynn, I want to start by going back to your time at getting your thoughts, I should say, on your alma mater, USC. Ended the season 5-7 this year, a rare college football season that won't include USC in a bowl game anywhere. So I'm sure that's not what you were looking for out of the Trojans this year. So wanted to get your thoughts on the direction they're headed in.
I remember an alumni asked me a question. I went back for the the Notre Dame game against USC, and this was a while back. And he asked me the question along the lines of what I thought about mediocrity. And I looked at him. I said, well, it's unacceptable at USC. You know, and that's what I think of is there's a high standard that's there. It's always been there. It was there when, you know, you go way back to the days of Taylor, running back in the day. You go that far back, and it's always been a standard of playing good, excellent football. You know, you come out, you get yourself positioned for the Pac-10 championship, you win that, or the Pac-12 today. You win that Pac-12 championship, then you go on, then it's the national championship that you're thinking about, and you're always wanting to get in position of that every year. And that's a mindset that they instill in your players. I know when I was there with John Robinson and John McKay, that was the mindset. It was always players letting other players know that this is the expectation that's here, and we got to go out and play to that expectation. Like it or not, that's the way it is. I remember when they had a celebration of the 78 team. They brought us back. They announced us. And John Robinson got up. This is when Pete Carroll was the coach. And John Robinson said, Pete, I got advice for you. He said, win and keep winning. That's the goal. Win and keep winning. And, you know, Pete had that run of, what, seven Pac-12 championships, somewhere around there of a run. And that's the way it is at SC. Yeah.
And Lynn, to your point about mediocrity and that not being acceptable, do you think this is a blip on the radar and they'll get things straightened out, or do you think something needs to change?
Well, in my opinion, and this is just as I tell my wife, you're asking me my opinion, then I'll share that what I think part of it. And this is from my experience / being a coach / a head coach. You know, it is, you don't want those blips, and you don't want them back to back. You just don't. You're striving towards every year. And this is where the kind of athletes that my understanding of when looking at John McKay or John Robinson, who they recruited, and even today, Helton and the players that they recruit, you recruit players there, can get it done, and you work at getting it done every year. You know, each year it's a mindset that you go out and you develop that. And it's up to the coach to help coaches and players get to that maximum potential spot. And that's a difficult thing, man. That's a difficult thing, a point to get to with reaching that goal. Every week you're going out and you're playing your best and competing your best and getting your athletes out, especially today. You know, they have less time. Back when we played, they had more time to have us in practice. And we would be there in practice, and they can hold us to practice for a long time into the evening. And so, you know, there's a little difference that you have, but the expectation is still there, man. It's still at SC, you know. It's not 8-9. It's not 9-4. It's about positioning yourself to compete for the Pac-12 championship and then competing for the national championship. You're lining yourself up. It's just that's the way it is there at SC.
And Lynn, right up there with USC, get your thoughts on the Falcons so far this season. I don't think any of us thought we'd be sitting here and they'd be 4-9 in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. And looking back, you know, to the Super Bowl appearance a couple of years ago, we thought, you know what, maybe this is a young team on the rise and they would be right back in the Super Bowl. If it wasn't the next year, it would certainly be the year after. And it certainly hasn't gone that way. Your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Falcons?
Once again, when I got to the Falcons, there was a standard that was always there. And it got, you know, Wallace Francis. Wallace Francis played with the Buffalo Bills, and then he was sent to the Atlanta Falcons. And Wallace, I stay in contact with Wallace, and Wallace just always, he's like, man, Kane, I remember you came out, you're practicing. And there was a standard that you had in practice. A self standard. This is one, you know, not based upon your team standard. This is an individual standard that was taught to us, taught to me at the University of Southern California. Running backs would run 20, 30 yards every time you touched the ball. That was your conditioning, the type of thing. So you got your work in to it. And that's what I, you know, when I think about the current day Falcons today, they're highly trained, they're highly conditioned. Getting them prepared every week is an important factor. And I would think that, you know, I know that the coach comes from Pete Carroll's staff. And I was there when Pete was at USC. And Pete is a tremendous motivator, inspirator. Coming out every practice was about getting yourself, maximizing your potential. Now, there's those days that rest days, thank God, they have rest days today. And so when I think of the Falcons today, I wonder – if they're meeting that standard on a regular basis and then the players committing to that standard. There got to be a commitment. I remember back in the day that when I played with the Falcons, that 1980 season, and I know you had that on your mind, that 1980 season, when we went into that season, we were 3-3, and we were not heading towards a poor season. And the players called a meeting. We all called a meeting. We sat down, and players in that meeting decided to commit to playing that year. You know, you're not going out, not doing things and partying, having fun, but committing to working toward getting in shape, or continue to keep yourself in shape, continue with your conditioning, continue with watching film, getting better, meeting together as a group, being on time, doing all those things, getting your rest. And fellas, we're 12-4. We were 12-4. It wasn't an accident. I remember a St. Louis game. We're playing against St. Louis, and they had us down 24-3, I think, something like that. They were beating us by halftime. We turned them out and came back and went into overtime, tied them up, went into overtime, and beat them in overtime. And that just propelled our season off. I remember Wallace Francis walking the sideline. Yeah, men, stay, hang in there. Don't quit. Hang in there. We're going to turn this thing around. And people hung in there. We hung in there. You know, every down, every snap, we hung in there, turned the thing around. And that's what I would think that's needed right now. I just don't see that push. One, I don't see whatever happened to the running back who's been in. When he was, you know, going to the Super Bowl, you had, remember, our running backs were doing a great job. And then our offensive line was doing a fantastic job of pass blocking and run blocking. I just don't see that combination happening. I don't see on defense. Remember, defense came out, one of our big problems in the Super Bowl, we kind of ran out of gas. We ran out of gas, and the guys were seemed to be tired by the second half. But the intensity of the defense, we had a tremendous defense, and we was ranked pretty high back then offensively and defense. But I just don't see that hunger like I did a few years ago. So,
Bob, questions for Lynn?
Great to have you on again, Lynn. And your first year with the Falcons was also the first year of William Andrews with the Falcons. And for those who remember, Lynn, I mean, William Andrews, if he had had a longer career, I don't think there's any question that he had Hall of Fame talent. He had 4 1,000-yard seasons in that short stretch. But was there an awful lot of competition in that very first training camp, Lynn? And tell our listeners more about the greatness of William Andrews.
Bob, it was a pleasure, a joy to be in the backfield with William Andrews. And yes, it was competition, and it was fun competition, what I saw. You know, William and I, there's a picture we have where one of us scored, and as we're running off the field, we're holding hands. We interlocked our hands, right? And we're jogging off, and that's the connection that I remember. I remember during summer camp when we were competing, and we had a lot of backs. They were looking for backs. Their running game, felt like they had the offensive line, which is dead. Mike Kent, R.C. Thielman, Warren Bryant, and then Jeff Enno, that's center, and R.C. Thielman. You know, they had all these, the linemen in place, and it felt like they needed the running game, and so they opened it up for competition. Well, as I was running, practicing, and I kept realizing every time I got in the backfield with William, you can see a click. You know, and I felt good, you know, and he felt good about it. And I remember that San Francisco game when Leland Bennett walks in. I'm sitting up on a table, man, and I'm getting taped. And he walks over, and Leland always rolled up a program, and he had a program rolled up, and he hit me on my ankles, you know, patted me on the ankles. And he looked up at me. I looked up, and he says, how you doing this morning? I said, I'm doing fantastic, Coach. How are you doing? He says, great. He says, you're starting today. Oh, man, I just about sunk in my... Man, I just I was like, oh my God, you're starting today. And I went from I was a seventh or eighth running back. They had Bubba Bean and Haskell Standback. They had a slew of guys that were in front of me. George Franklin, 6'5". This kid was 6'4", 245 pounds, ran a 4.5 40. I mean, this guy can accelerate. But I made it. I hung in there. I blocked my rear end off. I ran. And if they gave me one carry, I make the best of that one carry. And I was able to make it on the team. And then William Andrews in the backfield. William Andrews could – we called ourselves the every down back. We can be in there first down, second down, or leave us in there third down because we can catch, we can run, we can block. We shared the backfield with one another. We blocked for each other. We did all those things in there. Now, here's a story that William told me, which is a tremendous compliment, I would say. He went to the Pro Bowl, and John McKay was the coach, and he said, man, John McKay's talking about who's going to play what quarter, and, you know, Walter Payton and Walter Payton and someone else, Anderson, Otis Anderson, something like that. You're in the first quarter, and then somebody, Earl Campbell and somebody else, you're in the second quarter, and then William Andrews and so-and-so, you're in the third quarter, and then somebody in the fourth quarter. Well, William Andrews said he's sitting on the bench, and the first quarter, John McKay walks over and taps him on the shoulder and says, William Andrews. He says, yes, sir. He says, you're going into the game this first series. You're in the game. He said, no, coach, you told me I was going in the third quarter. He said, William Andrews, you're going in to the game. He said, no, coach, you told me I was going in. And Walter Payton walks over and says, William Andrews, you're going in with me. I told the coach that I want you in the backfield because I know you'll block for me, and I'll block for you. Isn't that something, man?
Yeah, that's great.
The Walter Payton walks over and says, put William Andrews in the backfield with me because I know he's going to block, catch, run, and whatever else you ask him to do. And that was a fun thing. I enjoyed playing in the backfield with Wayne.
And Lynn, just a few words about Steve Barkowski. We were fortunate enough to have him on the show before, and this was a guy that threw 55 completions to you a couple years later. And we know this guy, when he had the 31 touchdowns in 80, and he followed that up with a 30 touchdown season in 81, that's when people weren't doing that kind of stuff, Lynn. And Barkowski, a California guy, very cerebral guy. Your memories of him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bart was, I won't make this story long. I'll just put it this way. I was out in the field watching a quarterback or a team practice. They had asked me to come, and I was there watching practice. And there was this one quarterback that played in the NFL, and he threw the ball. And when he threw the ball, I looked, and I saw the tight spiral. And I could see that ball in the air, and he threw a deep route. I'm looking at that ball. Then I turned around and looked at the quarterback, and I said to him this, you know what? Watching your spiral, it just brought up memories of why I miss playing in the NFL. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The spiral. So let me say this. Steve Barkowski had one of the tightest spirals I've seen in my playing days. I watched that guy throw the ball, and he could throw it any way that he wanted. He had a tremendous arm. Him and June Jones used to have fun games that they would play where they'd take a helmet and put it 10 yards away, 15 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 50 yards, and see who can hit the helmet. And when you hit the helmet, then you back up 10 yards or 5 yards, whatever that number was that they used. And they back up, and then boom, you hit the back it up, boom. And I saw Steve Bukowski hit those helmets.
Wow.
You hear what I'm saying? I saw that hit. If he can hit a helmet like that, and then I saw him hit the field goal post. Wow. You're standing there going, wow, look at this guy. Amazing things that he was. And then you see him throw the ball. As soon as you snap, they would always say that to a wide receiver or a running back, if you're a receiver catching a ball, if you're running routes, they would say, you better whip your head around and bring your hands quickly because the ball's coming. And if you didn't, Steve was told, hit him in the face mask. And I tell you what, man, if you didn't snap your head around quick enough and get your hands around to get ready to catch the ball, it'd hit you in the face mask. Steve Borkowski was a heck of a quarterback and had a tremendous arm. Tremendous. I used to love, I'll finish on this note, I used to love watching Alfred Jenkins and the Wallace Francis and Alfred Jackson. And then you asked me, there you talked about Junior Miller. They lined Junior Miller from tight end position, tight end position, and would move him out to the X receiver or Z, well, X, then move him out to the split end position. And that guy, Bart would throw the ball. He'd throw like a rainbow, man. He'd throw the ball up high and let it drop and let those guys go run and catch it. And watching them run down there catching his ball, it was a beautiful sight. Steve was a heck of a quarterback. I just felt bad that we were two games away from the Super Bowl, man. Two games away, and we didn't finish the job. We had Dallas right there where we needed to. 14 points were up, but we didn't close the deal. We had, with less than two minutes left in the game, we had an opportunity to steal the deal, but we didn't get the first down. We give the ball back, and they go down and score and beat us. And I feel bad for Steve Borkowski because he didn't get that chance to be in a Super Bowl or play against Philly the next week and have the chance to play in the Super Bowl the following week against the Oakland Raiders. And that would have been a lot of fun. And this is why it would have been a lot of fun. Let me sneak this caveat in there, please. It would have been a lot of fun because Mike Davis played with the Oakland Raiders, was a defensive back. I played with Mike when we were in junior college. We played junior college today together. And we won the state championship there at East LA Community College. And I was looking forward to that competition with Mike on the field, because then it would have gave one of us bragging rights. Well, I didn't get there, man.
Well, Lynn, we certainly love every opportunity to get to spend with you. You're so much fun to have as part of the show. So many other things we would have loved to have gotten in with you tonight, and unfortunately, just not enough time. I hope you'll come back and join us again soon and share more of your stories and your insights. You're a lot of fun.
Man, I love you. Thank you for inviting me back. I'd love for that opportunity. Seriously, if you can sneak me in one more time, 10 more times, 100 times, that would be great.
We'll be there. Absolutely, we can. So we'll make that happen.
All right.
Lynn, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Be well, Lynn.
Same to you, too. Thank you.
Take care.
That is former Falcons running back Lynn Cain. Always so much fun, Bob. I enjoy having Lynn as part of the show. Always makes me smile as he's telling his stories.
Yeah, I love those old Falcon teams, you know, Fulton County. So you remember them well, Chris. I mean, it was Bartkowski and company. Great, great bunch of guys to watch.
We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony after this real quick station break.